This is the reading for day 3 of week 4 of START, and it's called The Goal of Counterformation. The new life into which we are baptized is lived out in days, hours, and minutes. God is forming us into a new people, and the place of that formation is in the small moments of today. Tish Harrison Warren. A famous story in Matthew 4 begins with Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. As he walked, he saw two fishermen, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. "Follow me," he called out to them, "and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The next verse says the two men immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. This simple story provides insight into the process and goal of counterformation in the way of Jesus. Counterformation begins with an invitation. God invites us into a relationship with him. Through the Gospels, Jesus affirms and demonstrates his desire to help those far from God know him. We need to recognize that God desires for us to know him. He does not merely tolerate us or allow us into his presence. He invites and welcomes us. The next step in counterformation is our response. In the case of Simon and Andrew, their response to Jesus involved leaving their profession. Answering God's invitation into a relationship with him will rarely include that kind of life change for us, though it certainly can. But still, this story reminds us that it does involve some life change. Responding to Jesus is not about praying a prayer and remaining unchanged, nor is it about professing belief and continuing on with our lives as if nothing has changed. Remember, we're not just talking about belief. We're talking about formation. As we assess the state of our counterformation, it may be helpful to consider what we have left behind to follow Jesus. In Philippians 3, Paul reflects on his own life and says, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 3, 13b and 14. We are invited to say yes to Jesus, to turn from our old ways and be transformed by him. The next step in our journey of counterformation is captured in the final phrase from the story of Simon and Andrew. It says they followed Jesus. They became his students, eager to learn from him at every opportunity. This learning wasn't so that they could pass a test or earn a degree. It wasn't even primarily so that they could get into heaven. It was so that they could understand and imitate his way of life. That is the essence of Christian discipleship. And we do ourselves and the world around us a disservice if we don't take it seriously. Consider these words from Dallas Willard. "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence." If that quote strikes you as extreme, take a moment to sit with it. Willard makes the point that when Christians take Jesus' call to discipleship seriously, it changes our lives so radically that it can change the world. Put differently, our journey of counterformation contributes to the counterformation of the world. There is a remarkable story in Acts 19 about Paul going to the city of Ephesus. Ancient Ephesus was a large cosmopolitan city known for its worship of the Greek goddess Artemis. When Paul arrives in the city, he and his people start sharing about Jesus. Acts 19:10 says this goes on for 2 years, and during that time, Jews and Greeks in the city turn away from Artemis and become followers of Jesus. Then look what happens in Acts 19, verse 23. "About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. Then he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, 'Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. Do you see what happened? As people in Ephesus became Christians, their lifestyles began to undergo significant changes. One specific change they made was that they stopped buying silver statues of Artemis because Paul helped them see, as the text says, that God made with human hand. So many people stopped buying statues that it disrupted the local statue-selling economy. The point of the story isn't that economic disruption is good. The point is that something was happening in Ephesus that dishonored the Lord. People were buying statues of pagan goddesses, believing them to be representatives of that goddess, and as people came to faith in Christ, they stopped buying statues. Imagine how a community of people counterformed in the way of Jesus could impact society. As we die to ourselves and seek to love God and our neighbors, we can be a force for good in a dark world. The specific words Willard uses to describe the discipleship process and counterformation are instructive. He calls us to steadily learn from Jesus how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens. We never arrive in this life, but we can always steadily learn. That requires intentionality and discipline. But the payoff, a transformed life that's continually transforming, is massive. There was always an opportunity to grow when it comes to counterformation in the way of Jesus. There is more to learn, more to discover, more ways to crucify our flesh, more ways to experience intimacy with God, and more ways to put on the character of Christ. This should not overwhelm us. Instead, we can let it inspire us to joyfully pursue counterformation and live with greater obedience to Jesus and a deeper connection to the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. My response: what, in your own words, is the goal of counterformation? What are one or two takeaways you have from this week's readings? Take a moment to pray about some specific action steps that you feel God nudging you toward in response to what you read. What comes to mind as you pray about those things?